game tomorrow for the NFL. I'll be watching. Hope you are too. Have a good day.
Service workers are set to return to the picket lines from December 8th to the 14th. Known as Le Front Commun, or Common Front, the group comprises four unions representing employees in health, social services, and education looking for better working conditions and salaries. The unions made the announcement at a press conference on Tuesday, saying that this would be the final strike sequence before adopting an unlimited general strike in 2024 should they not reach a deal with the Quebec government. The group of unions held a one-day strike on November 6th, followed by a three-day strike last week, closing schools and CJEPs, as well as reducing the quality of health care. The Quebec government is looking to finalize Bill 15, its controversial health reform legislation. For more on this story, here is CJLO 1690 reporter Katie Brady.
Hi, I work in healthcare. We don't have one.
Mounting concerns over the Legault government's healthcare reform bill were heard Monday evening at Dawson College in Montreal. Opposition reps, health advocates, and patients are pleading with Premier Legault and Health Minister Christian Dubé to pump the brakes on Bill 15. Bill 15 is a sweeping reform bill which includes the creation of a centralized system, a new crown corporation to be named Santé Québec. Critics of the bill fear it will be invoked without proper study with closure before the Assemblée nationale closes for the holidays on December 8th. The reform would create a single employer system which would allow health staff to take their seniority to other facilities across the province under Santé Québec. Jennifer Macaron, MNA for Westmount St. Louis, sponsored a petition in the legislature last week on behalf of Quebec Community Groups Network, asking the government to give the bill serious reconsideration.
Over-centralization means that whatever is going to be adopted and brought forward at a central body might not represent the needs that we have for the Greater Montreal area. It might be completely different for what we need in the Gaspé region. Not the same thing as what we need here, and that's something that we should really be worried about.
Many warn the bill will drive healthcare in the province further into privatization, wreak havoc with health staffing in Montreal's hospitals, undermine access to services and treatments, and violate minority rights in the province. Dr. Abraham Fuchs, professor of medicine at McGill University, said you simply can't approach healthcare like this.
The government understands this project of healthcare to be a bureaucratic initiative, and it's not. Hospitals are not bureaucratic entities. They're sociocultural organs of a community. So the government pretends or believes that this is like redoing Revenu Québec or transportation.
André Fortin, MNA for Pontiac and official health critic, echoed this sentiment. He thinks given the historic labor action we've seen in the public sector this month, the government could spend this time addressing more important elements of the healthcare system.
If Michelle and I and all the MNAs around the table had spent the last 8 months looking at how to attract healthcare professionals, that would have helped. If we looked at what the proper organization of the network in terms of do we have the right ratios of patient, nurse, patient, social worker, patient, that would have helped. But to spend 8 months on a governance bill to say, if I move this bureaucrat from here to here, and if I give this guy more power, and if I take away fonctionnaires and administrators do not provide direct patient services. Doctors, nurses.
A cardiologist attending the town hall and many others expressed grave concern about the reforms.
Vous allez voir une catastrophe qui va arriver à très, très court terme.
As of Tuesday, the petition had reached over 3,500 signatures. Organizers of the event are urging the public to get involved and get vocal, in hopes the bill can continue being debated after the holidays. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
Hello and welcome to Cadenza Montreal on CJLO 1690. I'm Stephanie Manning, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. No interviews today, unfortunately, but I've got an hour of classical music coming your way. So it is, you know, it's not quite December yet, but still kind of feeling the Christmas spirit after all. Tonight, Mariah Carey is at the Bell Center. Why do I know this? It's because I am going to see Mariah Carey at the Bell Center. So it should be very, very festive evening. Of course, not classical music related. So I am not going to play All I Want for Christmas Is You. Don't worry about that. But I am going to start the show with a little fun Christmas outing. We have the Canadian Brass, their Christmas album, and this is Christmas Is Coming. Listening to Cadenza Montreal, and that was the Canadian Brass and Christmas Is Coming, and a wonderful brass quintet, that group, very, very well known even outside of Canada. They toured in the DC area where I lived years ago when they were promoting this Christmas album in particular. It was quite a memorable concert. So in terms of classical concerts coming up this week, a little bit of a lull this week. We're sort of getting into the swing of Christmas concerts are starting, and, you know, some of the smaller groups, their season is sort of winding down for the holidays before picking back up after the new year. So the music this week will be a little bit more of random, you could say, things that I have found, but they're all related somehow. I go down these rabbit holes of doing research on music that I could play in the show that's somehow related to things going on. So I was looking at, you know, classical pieces that have sort of some connection to the holidays this season. One piece came to mind, and that's Prokofiev's Lieutenant Kiji Suite. This was originally, Prokofiev wrote this for a 1934 Soviet film, which, as described in the Apple Music Classical write-up, is the film was satirizing the incompetence and absurdity of Tsarist rule. It was his first score for the cinema and also one of his earliest attempts to move from avant-garde provocation to a more accessible and potentially popular style. So this piece has been quite the classic. The five-movement orchestral suite in particular is often performed. But one movement has kind of stood out among those five, and that's Troika, or Sleigh Ride. And it's used pretty widely in popular culture, so you may recognize it even if you haven't known its name. So this is George Zell and the Cleveland Orchestra, Prokofiev's Lieutenant Kiji Suite. This is the fourth movement, Troika. And then I may segue into the fifth movement as well, if we have time.
Thank you. artistes, musiciens et musiciennes au Canada, on vous invite à faire rayonner votre musique. Inscrivez-vous dès maintenant à la 17e édition des Célidors de la musique du monde. Cette vitrine unique est votre chance de vous faire découvrir du public et de remporter de nombreux prix. Faites vite! Vous avez jusqu'au 11 décembre pour envoyer votre candidature. Toutes les infos sur celidors.com.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CJLO 1690. Before the ad break, there was two movements from the Lieutenant Kiji Suite by Sergei Prokofiev. The second one, which I did segue into after the Troika, the sleigh ride, was Kiji's funeral. So hence the very sort of somber ending with the offstage trumpet there. Definitely can tell that's Prokofiev with the use of saxophone. He's a big the saxophone is very prevalent in his music. I'm also thinking of the Romeo and Juliet overture, another great piece by him that uses saxophone quite a bit. So that's kind of, you know, in the holiday spirit realm portion of the show. And I'm kind of going to switch gears now to something that's kind of entirely different. But when I was doing research on some upcoming performances, a potential interview next week about a concert that I will hopefully talk more about next week with an interview guest, but this concert features the banda neon, which is a sort of accordion-like instrument. Piazzolla, the Argentinian composer Piazzolla, used it quite a bit in his music, the tango music. And sort of thinking about accordion sent me down a rabbit hole of, thinking about accordion-like instruments made me think, for some reason, of the soundtrack to the film The Terminal. This is a John Williams score, the Tom Hanks movie The Terminal, and it's very famous for Victor's Tale, as it's called, or technically The Tale of Victor Navorsky. The full version of this does not actually appear in the film, but it's a very famous clarinet solo, and it's such a fun piece. And so I'm like, why not? Let's hear it today. And in my process of researching this, I also found something very, very interesting, which is that the clarinetist who performed this was identified in the credits, and I'll just read you a little bit about her story. This is an article from the LA Times, and it says, after Emily Bernstein recorded the clarinet solo for the score of the motion picture The Terminal, director Steven Spielberg, a former clarinetist himself, insisted that Bernstein's name appear in the film's end credits, although traditionally individual musicians performing in studio orchestras remain anonymous. Bernstein considered this experience, which took place in March 2004 between chemotherapy treatments, not only a great honor, but an even greater source of comfort. So not only did Emily Bernstein, who was the principal clarinet of the LA Opera Orchestra at the time, perform this beautiful solo, she was going through, like, really struggling with chemotherapy treatments, and this sort of just gave a whole new dimension to this piece that I never knew existed. So without further ado, here is her performance in The Tale of Victor Navorsky from The Terminal. Thank you. Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. So I talked a little bit about before the break about the piece we just heard, the Tale of Victor Navorsky, which is the John Williams score from the film The Terminal, starring Tom Hanks. Very, very famous clarinet solo. And I'm so glad that Spielberg insisted that the name of the soloist appear in the film's end credits, because traditionally, these sorts of things aren't credited in the end of movies, but you know, it's really important to showcase that, I think. And Emily Bernstein did an amazing job. That is a, you know, you'd be surprised at how much of a staple that clarinet solo can be in the repertoire, even as classical. It may not be traditional as film music, but I remember one year during my studies at Oberlin Conservatory, the clarinet studio had an in-studio audition coming up to play for their professor, and he picked The Terminal as one of the excerpts. I remember some grumblings about that, but I was thrilled. I said, I love that piece. Unfortunately, as I was talking earlier about the soloist Emily Bernstein and how she was dealing with cancer at the time of recording this, I also learned that she passed away less than a year after this recording. This was back in 2005. So that article from the LA Times, the Valley Sun, actually, that I read out earlier, was sadly her obituary. She played for the Pasadena Symphony as well as the Los Angeles Opera Orchestra. And after her death, a fund for the orchestra was set up in her name, which I think was a very meaningful gesture. And I was trying to think of what pieces that I could play, like a piece I could play sort of in remembrance of that, in memorial of her. And I wasn't able to find recordings of her specifically in the little time that I had, but I did find an NPR story from 1998, I believe, that mentioned that she was performing this Fantasy Number 1 in G minor by Charles Villiers Stanford, a composer I have not heard of, but apparently it is somewhat well known in the clarinet repertoire. So I have a recording here of the Gold Piano Trio performing this piece that I think will serve as a tribute to the wonderful musician Emily Bernstein.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. That beautiful piece and recording was the Fantasy Number 1 in G minor. That's the second movement on Dante for clarinet, cello, and piano. Really gorgeous piece. I'd never heard it before today. That was the Gold piano trio. Robert Plano, clarinet. Robert Plane, clarinet. Mia Cooper, violin, and David Adams, viola. Really beautiful piece there. I've never heard of that composer, but I will check that out more because I really enjoyed listening to that today. Changing gears again a little bit, but sort of looping back to where we were at the same time. I mentioned earlier on how I went down the rabbit hole that I ended up at the terminal by thinking about accordion, thinking about the bandoneon, thinking about these instruments that have been traditionally used in tango ensembles. And of course, that got me thinking about guitar, classical guitar, which is another great love of mine. I had not heard much classical guitar at all until I was in university, and a lot of my first classical music reviewing jobs were reviewing these classical guitar concerts. Shout out to the Cleveland Classical Guitar Society, who puts on many, many concerts in the Cleveland area. So I went to many, and I found myself really enjoying the classical guitar. I think it's a beautiful instrument. Every time I hear a beautiful piece, I'm like, what if I just went back in time and studied the classical guitar instead of the bassoon? You know, that's that kind of those kind of what ifs, just because I think the instrument is so interesting and so wonderful. One of those concerts I went to was with a guitarist named Bo Kyung Byun. Really great player, and I was especially intrigued by the music on her concert because she had some contemporary works for classical guitar, which is a very interesting combination. So this, and she's actually recorded some of those pieces that I enjoyed quite a bit. This one is by the composer Salil Rafiqaya. He and Byokun Byun had collaborated many times in the past. So his guitar sonata number 1 in D major, she performed on that program. And I was glad to see that she had recorded it for an album. So this is the first movement from that piece, the Allegro Moderato. Thank you.
Au cinéma public, nous proposons une programmation en salle composée de films d'ici et de nouveautés internationales, de classiques et des pépites méconnues, ainsi que de courts-métrages et des séances familiales. Nos billets sont parmi les moins chers à Montréal, 10$ au tarif régulier et 8$ pour les étudiants, les enfants et les aînés. Nous offrons également des cinécartes de 6 billets pour encore plus d'économies. Venez nous voir à la Casa d'Italia, juste en face de la station Jean Talon. Et rendez-vous au cinémapublic.ca pour découvrir notre programmation. Le cinéma public pour un cinéma vivant.
Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal on CGLO 1690. Before the ad break, there was the Guitar Sonata No. 1 in D major by Salil Rafiq Kaya, who is a contemporary composer. So it was super interesting to hear contemporary compositions for classical guitar. A lot of times, I mean, there's, you know, so much repertoire out there and a lot of it wonderful for the classical guitar that sometimes contemporary compositions aren't thought of as much, but I really do like that piece. I like the piece compositionally, and I like that it was recorded, because having these things recorded is, I feel, really important to the life of a piece. But speaking of the compositions that get played all the time, like I said, they are amazing, amazing works. And I feel like the number one that comes to mind for me is this piece by Agustín Barrios Manjorre called Un Sueño en la Floresta, which is a dream in the forest. Just a beautiful, beautiful piece, and uses this tremolo technique that guitarists use, where they can just play these notes in quick sort of waterfall succession. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll hear it in the middle section of this piece. So this is a recording of Un Sueño en la Floresta by the guitarist Kyuhi Park. Thank you. Welcome back to Cadenza Montreal. And if you didn't know what the tremolo technique sounds like on a classical guitar, you probably do now, because that is sort of the whole conceit of that piece, a very famous, well-known classical guitar piece, Un Sueño en la Floresta. That was, again, that was guitarist Kyuhee Park. Well, we're almost out of time today, and as always, I'm left with this weird 5-minute interval where I have to find a really short piece, which is kind of hard to do when classical pieces are like 5 minutes and up usually. So I think we're going to be circling back around to how we started this program with the Canadian brass and some holiday tunes. This will be the Christmas song. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode. Hopefully I will have at least one interview for you next week. But until then, enjoy the rest of the week, the rest of your Wednesday, and here's the Canadian brass with the Christmas song.
Lighter, burning coldness in the hands of